D-Mace Fingan and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Fingan here with you. And before we get to Jonathan Hutton, I did this very quick research during the break. I asked how many times a seventh-seeded team in the NFL playoffs has won a game since they expanded the postseason, which I think was in 2020. Seventh seeds are 1-7. The one win was last year's Green Bay Packers win on the road as the seventh seed and defeated the Cowboys 48-32. So seventh seeds in the NFL playoffs are 1-7 in the first round. That Green Bay team went on to lose in the following round to the San Francisco 49ers.
And that team, I think, was 9-8, if I'm not mistaken.
The Packers record, you mean?
Yeah.
I think that sounds right.
I'm pretty sure that's the case, and the Titans would have to go 8-5 to get to 9-8.
Seems unlikely.
There's still no guarantee that 9-8 would get you in. That's 50-50 at best, I would say.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joins us. Hutton, we've been, of course, speaking about the Will Levis, Mason Rudolph situation. Brian Callahan has been steadfast that when healthy, Will Levis is the Titans' starting quarterback. Look into your crystal ball for me, if you would. How does this play out?
Well, I mean, how healthy does he need to be to play? You know, like, that's my response to when healthy. Does he have to be 100%? Or, you know, in a typical game, does he go back into the game like we saw this past Monday night where they didn't let him back in? There's ways to, you know, make sure that you go with the quarterback you want without necessarily saying that he's not your guy. Although I have no reason not to believe Brian Callahan here. When he says there's no conspiracy theories, there's no ulterior motives and there's no second guessing. I mean, I believe him because he's done nothing but be, you know, straightforward and honest with us as just a Titans public since he took the job. So it's clear that they want to evaluate Will Levis, and that seems to be priority number one right now.
But if you're Brian Callahan, and we talked about this in the first hour, if you're Brian Callahan, how do you sell that to the rest of your team? Because the team just experienced its first win with a different quarterback under center. Sure. It wasn't a riveting game by any stretch of the imagination, but a win is a win. So if you're Brian Callahan, how do you sell Will Levis as our quarterback to a locker room that just watched Mason Rudolph not do anything stupid and get them their first win of the season?
Yeah, I mean, Rudolph managed the game. I thought there was a clear difference in just the overall, you know, run of the offense. I don't know if you guys felt the same way. I felt like just in and out of the huddle, up to the line, all that. Checks at the line. I saw more from Rudolph there. But he managed the game. He didn't lose the game, right? We have seen Will Levis do that. Ultimately, though, Megan, I think it comes down to this. It's got to be Will Levis that wins that locker room. He's got to win over his team. You know, they're trying to evaluate if he's the franchise quarterback. I mean, at this point where we sit right now, at minimum, I say maybe at best for him, he's going into next year in a competitive situation in training camp. That, like, at best, as we sit here today, forecasting, crystal ball. There's a lot of work to do there. So I think we, to this point, I mean, I have my answer to what I've seen. And the question is, can he actually help win games instead of lose them? And, you know, it's about winning. And let me add this too. I'm fascinated to see how they sell this if they continue to lose. Because, you know, it's not just selling over the locker room. They've got fans that are paying money to go and watch games. They don't want to show up and watch this team lose. They don't want to watch the offense give the ball away when they're clamoring for something different. They're looking to win. And the Titans are also at the same time sending them information on, hey, here's the new PSL package we want to sell you. There's a lot of factors here that are playing into this that I'm interested to see how they ultimately either stick with him or don't, given the situation of how many times do you roll this out there? In case in point would be the, you know, throwing an interception straight to a defensive lineman, you know, right in front of him. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of ifs, you know, if this, if that. The only definitive thing we have is from the coach, who's telling us, yeah, he's our starting quarterback when healthy. Ian Rappaport is reporting in a post that he's written, saying that it's likely that he's back after the bye. And then you click on the video, and he's almost saying the exact opposite, where there really is no report there. He's likely to return, but is it after this coming week, after the bye? We still don't know. And I'm thinking, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of outs to all of this, depending on how that shoulder injury is reported and what comes about with all this.
Now, Hutt, the way I believe this should be approached, because, listen, I believe Brian Callahan when he says, you know, Will Levis is the quarterback.
I do too.
But I believe him because I think that's what the owner wants.
Okay, yeah.
Him as the quarterback. And when she decides he shouldn't be the quarterback, I think she is sending a message down like, hey, it's about that time to switch over. But with that being said, I think the only way
– let me just jump in real quick with a thought. I mean, look, it was Amy Adams' Strunk's birthday on Monday, I believe. Mm-hmm. She's there at the stadium. I don't think she sit down anything that said, don't put Levis back in the game.
No, I'm not talking about that game. I'm not talking about the other night. But I'm saying eventually, I think she brought him here, meaning Brian Callahan, to work on the quarterback that she drafted, that they wanted.
And run a different style offense than what we saw Monday night, too.
Exactly. So my thing is with her, that's my quarterback until I send word that he's no longer my quarterback. So I get Brian Callahan, and I believe him because that's the word, that's the message that he's getting from above him. That's the quarterback. You figure it out. You said you can work with him. You said he has the tools, so you figure it out. But my thing is with that is, do you believe the best course of action is to help him keep his job or to help him not be on the hot seat is take the football away from him. Hand the ball off to your running backs. Use that offensive line that has developed into a good run blocking unit. Not as good pass blocking, but a good run blocking unit. So if that is indeed the case, let me help everybody by taking a little bit off his shoulders. Because I don't think he's mature enough right now to handle the franchise being on his shoulder. So if that is indeed the case, take the ball away from him and hand it to the running backs. Now you can appease the owner and you can mask his deficiencies out there by taking the ball away from him and only allowing him to throw the football when necessary.
Well, but if you do that, then what's the point of trying to evaluate him?
They did it to Steve McNair. They did the exact thing to Steve McNair.
But
I know it's a different time. I know it's a different time.
They didn't come out of an offseason. But Steve McNair would have gone back in the game too.
Yeah, you're right about that. Yeah.
They didn't come out of an offseason where the owner was saying, we want to get into this new era offense. And all I've seen is a lot of Mike Vrabel-type football, quite frankly. I mean, the Titans averaged 22 rushes per game through 3 weeks, and they had 40 in Miami. And the coach is saying, that's how we've got to win this game. By the way, they're coming back and they're playing Indianapolis. I bet that's the same mindset. Just don't give the game away because they're going to be either facing a backup quarterback or a starting quarterback who will give the game away.
But it's easier to sell that to the owner than to put him out there and throw the ball around the yard and watch all these mistakes mount up one after
another.
And keep
failing the test.
Exactly.
Well, let me add this in. This is what was also interesting, and I don't know if – I'm sure you guys have talked about this, why he didn't go back in the game. I think it was a clear opportunity to check out what Mason Rudolph was about in that moment. And let's just rewind to a situation. Now, this was the non-throwing shoulder of Will Levis, not the throwing shoulder, but it was October 15th, 2022. Kentucky's hosting Mississippi State, tight ball game. Levis gets hit as he's throwing a deep pass, goes down, AC sprain in his left shoulder, his non-throwing shoulder. They end up getting off the field. Mississippi State goes down and scores the touchdown on the next possession. as the extra point's being kicked, Levis is coming back out of the locker room, back onto the field immediately to a standing ovation. And Rodriguez, the running back after the game, is saying, yeah, he was sending a message that he's not soft, and neither is this offense. They go on to win the game by 10 points. They also came back, Mace, and they handed off 8 or 9 straight times in the run game. But Levis had to make a throw late in that game that ultimately went down and scored a touchdown. And point being, there is no way that Will Levis would just be like, yeah, let's live to fight another week with the shoulder. It's clear he had his helmet on. I mean, he wanted to get back into the game.
Right. If Rudolph had been knocked from the game, I don't think there's any question that Levis would have gone back in and battled through. But so right. I agree with what you're saying.
Brian
I think
Callahan needed that win, so he left Mason Rudolph in the game.
Yes, and exactly the way they needed to win was the way that Rudolph needed to play.
I think it's also I've thought about this too. The he made the point that how many passes did he throw in the second half? It wasn't very many. Levis could have done that. He could have handed off. My point is, I think there's also something there that they wanted Levis to stand there and watch another quarterback run the offense. I don't know if that's sending a point going to the bye or not, but if you're just going to hand off, I think Levis could go in there, given the fact that, I mean, he's still dressed out. You know, he doesn't have the pads off with the headphones in his ear to hear the play calls. It was very different. And, you know, the camera kept going over to see who's coming back out on the field. It wasn't Will Levis. And Levis did that in college 2 years ago to the opposite shoulder.
Hud, I keep spinning my wheels in my mind. In a sport where you cannot send a prospect down to the minors to develop.
Yes.
They do not have a good developmental system in the league.
They do not.
And it stinks. And I think there would be a lot better overall quarterback play and more good quarterbacks if they could find one. But I also try to think beyond it's all or nothing. Either it's Levis every week, sink or swim, right, or it's Rudolph and you can't go back to Levis. I'm trying to come up with a nuanced way to do it. D-Mace is bringing up some really good things to shoot holes in my plan, but I'm thinking of, could you try to have a quicker hook, right? If Levis does have a bad start, a bad turnover over, you know, early in a game, could you just have that be the standard and say, Will, we're going to keep giving you opportunities. We're running you out there. But if you keep failing the tests and making the same mistakes, we're yanking you because we're trying to win games. Do you think that could work at all? Or do they have to even go more fully into Levis is the guy if he's healthy, period?
I don't think it's either side there, Willie. I think if the coach continues to roll him out there based on this scenario that you're laying out, I mean, he looks ignorant. If you're giving the game away on these plays, I think at some point you come to the realization, no matter what people think right now, that the guy doesn't have control over his game day roster, right? Like that would be my assumption based on just the longevity of the scenario playing out. Not one game, what would happen week after week. The other thing is, you know, I keep going back to what Amy Adams Strunk said as to why she was changing the regime. And it was this new era NFL. She may have phrased it different, but it was the new age. There have been 24 wins across the NFL this year where the quarterback passed for less than 200 yards. So, I mean, I think it's going back to the old era. And if you want to win games, you just roll it out there right now where you don't screw it up and your defense wins it for you. That sounds very basic, but the style of offense that they want to run is more conducive for Will Levis to push the ball down the field. And unfortunately for what the Titans have seen so far and the fans are having to live through it, it's been a lot of dumb plays and turnovers that flip the game to the other sideline. And at some, what I'm saying, Willie, you can't do that every week and continue to tell the fan base that all is well. You know what I mean? Like you have the backup for the reason. They paid Mason Rudolph as one of their first signings for a reason. And it's more than just, okay, if Levis goes down and hurt, he can get us through the game. I mean, you look at some of the backup quarterbacks across the league. I mean, he's not near the top by any means, but he's certainly not what we saw in Huntley. And, you know, the Titans yeah. finally took advantage of a fourth string quarterback.
Here's another thing I would be a little wary of if I'm Brand Carthon and even Brian Callahan, even though it's his first year. But if they commit to Levis for the rest of the year and they struggle,
right?
I worry about Rand Carthon and his own credibility with Amy Adams, with the fan base, and also to, you know, the players that he went out and signed in the offseason and potential additions, right, to sell. This is a program going in the right direction. So I'm trying to come up with how do I weigh if you're the most competitive you can be and you put the team out there that gives you a best chance to win every week, even if that means you go 7-10 or 8-9, as opposed to let's almost tank and go 4-13 and pick fourth or fifth.
And we're only in the 1st of October.
Right.
When the mindset was going into camp, you've brought in all the talent to put around the QB, right? And then at the end of camp, there's a video release where they've got their 53-man roster, the initial one, and, you know, it was Carthon and Callahan that said, we got ourselves a team. And now, you know, I think the mindset is let's find out if the quarterback is the quarterback of the future. I think you can do both. And if you don't know and you're really contemplating putting the backup in, I think you kind of know based on what we've seen. But I think the other part of this is at no point do they want to go into the offseason. And again, there's a lot of football left. At no point do they want to go in the offseason thinking, there's some uncertainty, not with the person that's giving the advice, but people that will be taking that advice and moving forward with or without Will Levis. Contractually, it makes sense that he's on the roster. But, I mean, it's not like I'm sitting here going, yeah, they're running it back with him based on what I've seen. You just can't continue to do that, especially given the fact we know that Amy Adams Strunk wants to win. I mean, she is she can change her mind very, very fast based on losses. We've seen that. And even a team that was 7-5 with their general manager. Wins are important, especially when you're trying to open the new stadium and you need a quarterback to do it the way they want to do it. But it's not just the quarterback. But, I mean, wins and losses early in the season can be pointed to him.
Jonathan Hutton from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow joining us as he does every Wednesday at noon. Hutton, thanks for chatting. We'll talk next week.
Hey, just real quick, I think a sign for Levis's injury status is if they sign a practice squad quarterback, because Callahan doesn't really like doing that. I think the only reason they would bring it in is if they think Levis isn't going to play against Indy. So that would be an indication. I think that's probably the first indication based on what you've seen in Cincy. Whether or not they think the injury report is, you know, positive coming out of the bye week.
Certainly something to keep an eye on. Jonathan, thank you.
Yep, thank you, guys.
Hutton, Jonathan Hutton. I called him Hutton and Jonathan. I always feel weird calling him Jonathan. It feels too formal, but who knows?
Just call him Hut.
That's fine. I'll stick with that. Short and sweet. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, there was a tweet that I saw during the game on Monday that really spoke to me, and I'm going to share it with all of you coming up next. Tune into 94.9 The Fan this Saturday for Vanderbilt football. The Commodores will take on the number one team in the country, the Alabama Crimson Tide, with pregame beginning at 1:30 and kickoff at 3:15. Coverage is also available on 94.9 The Fan app and at thegamenashville.com. This week's Nashville's Best Deal is from Nashville's largest axe-throwing venue, Bad Axe Throwing Nashville. Aim for a great time while enjoying curated cocktails from the full bar and a Northwoods-inspired menu with a southern twist. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to get half off a $30 gift card while supplies last. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you during the break. Willie was looking at some sort of car fixing tutorial?
Yes. And
would you like to share with the audience what's going on? Someone can help you.
I would.
Some people may be able to help you.
Maybe there's somebody out there that can help me.
Because those videos did not seem very educational.
Not yet. I haven't found it yet. I'm surfing YouTube.
You have a problem, Willie. I can help.
Okay. Nick, you might be my man. You might be the man for this job. My my son's car, which is home, we don't use it all the time, but we've got to keep it operational. Right now what's happening is the windows are fogging up and getting condensation on the inside of the vehicle, not on the outside where you just flip on the windshield wipers and you clear it off and you hit the defrost and you're good. I'm talking about condensation on the inside. What causes that and what do I do? Is this something I got to go in and get fixed, or is there a solution that I'm not seeing besides just taking a towel and wiping off the inside?
Because you've turned on the defrost. You did everything you're supposed to
do. Or I just roll the windows down, and eventually it's fine, but I just don't want this to keep happening. Nick, what do you think?
So I think it's a $20 fix. It's called Gorilla Tape. There's a thing that's called the Windicow, and it's the rubber strap that's on the outside of the front of the driver's windshield. And when it gets old, it starts getting decayed, and it just frays out. What I did on my car, I just Gorilla Taped it, and it's black tape, so it just blends in with everything else, and all that stopped. So if that's your solution, that might be the solution.
If we have any gearheads, text us.
You had me at $20 fix. $20 fix. $20 fix. Sign me up. Yeah. Sign me up.
Willie, here's the thing. Gorilla Tape is everybody's best friend, especially if it matches the interior of the car or exterior of the car.
Max Hurst is back there.
I'm not even worried about
that. Does Max Hurst know how to fix cars?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay, so I'll ask the double thumbs down. Ask the listeners. Text us at 615-737-1025. Do you concur with Professor Nick that this is the best way to get rid of the inside condensation?
Max looked too dapper to be working on cars.
Max headed to Raleigh with the Predators. Yes. You can hear that game.
He looks anything but a car mechanic at this time.
The Predators will take on the Hurricanes in preseason action. You can hear that game here. I believe coverage starts at 6 o'clock on 102.5, 106.3, the game. So, Max, have a safe flight to the Triangle. But I mentioned before the break, there was a tweet that I saw on Monday that really spoke to me. It was from Bill Barnwell of ESPN. And Bill Barnwell said, quote, "Why does Will Levis look and feel like an actor playing a quarterback in a movie?" And it really got me thinking. I feel like because we see a lot of reboots these days, right, in movies and television. If someone were to reboot the movie Varsity Blues, I would cast Will Levis in the role of James Vanderbeek as the quarterback of the football team.
And he might do a great job.
Will Levis does look like he is out of central casting for a football movie. He's tall, he's handsome, good head of hair, buff, all those things. Obviously a mayonnaise spokesperson running around with a open shirt, all those things. But it got me thinking about Will Levis's personality, because the word that comes to mind, maybe some of you have heard this slang term, is extra. Will Levis is extra. He's over the top. He's excessive. He's a try hard. You see his reactions on the sideline. You see his reaction when he threw the pick six against Chicago. He seems very high strung. If I were friends with Will Levis, I feel like I would be saying, dude, chill a lot. And I'm just wondering if Will Levis has the necessary personality to be a successful NFL quarterback. And this is just, again, only from what I see on television, what I see in his news conferences, that it's a very small glimpse into Will Levis's personality. I don't know anything about Will Levis. I don't know him personally. But from afar, I wonder if Will Levis has the type of personality that leads to success as a quarterback in the NFL. What do you guys think?
Basically, what you're saying is the job too big for him?
I wonder that, yes.
And that's what a lot of people are wondering. Is not that they're not, I don't think people are wondering if he can play in this league, because I believe Will Levis can play in this league. Undoubtedly, he can play in this league. But does he have everything that it takes to be a franchise quarterback? The play on the field, off the field, the temperament. Everything that goes along with being the face of a franchise. That's a lot. A lot of people say they want it, but then if you when you get it, it's probably not what you thought. It may be just a little bit harder than what you thought it was going to be. And again, I'm not sitting here saying that Will Levis can't do it, but he just may not be the guy. And that's okay to say. It's okay to say that, you know what? Not only is the play consistently not there, but everything else isn't consistently there either. Like for a starting quarterback, a franchise quarterback, rarely do you see, you know, when they make a mistake, do you see these antics or you see, you know, the expression of body language and stuff that you see from Will Levis. You don't see that from guys that know they're the guy, that have that confidence that they're the guy, that no matter what happens, I'm the guy, I'm going to keep it even keel. Why? Because everybody else is looking at me. The franchise, everybody is looking at me, not just the people on my team, but the 70-something thousand fans that are sitting in that stadium, they are reacting based upon how I react when I throw an interception, when I make a bad play, when I don't make the right read, when I overthrow balls. How do I then react? If I'm a franchise guy, if I'm holding this franchise on my shoulders, there's a way that I approach the game each and every time, no matter if I made a mistake or it was a 90-yard touchdown. How I come off the field is indicative of how this team is ran and how this organization goes.
It reminds me, and we'll talk about what the camera caught him saying after he threw the interception. I didn't see him at all. But you know what I just thought about? Last year in Miami, when the Titans came back late to win the game against the Dolphins, after that game-winning drive, Levis comes to the sideline and he rips his helmet off and he's like, "Yeah!" And his veins are popping out of his neck and his biceps and he's giving—I don't know if it was Mike Vrabel or someone else—like a huge bro hug. And I'm just like, "Dude, calm down. Like, I know that you're excited about putting your team ahead, but just, you know, dial it back to." I know with Spinal Tap, it goes all the way to 11. Maybe dial it back to, like, 6 or 5. You can be excited. You don't need to be that excited. I don't know.
I just think that there is a general look, presence, poise about a really good quarterback. And even when he struggles, you just don't see things like you saw when he comes off the field. I didn't see him. I didn't see him, guys. I didn't see him. I didn't say, you know, there's just, there, I think, is more of a different look that you see in most really good quarterbacks. And I think it translates to other things in other sports. Let's throw a visual out there that a lot of people have seen. This is an extreme example, mm-hmm. right? But remember the movie Gladiator? The first time Maximus goes into the ring, mm-hmm. right? And there's a guy in the front of the line, famously, who's just, you know, he's panicking. He's urinating. He's urinating on himself. He's you know this guy's toast as soon as that mm-hmm. door opens, and he is.
Yes.
He goes. Spoiler alert: that guy goes down in 10 or 15 seconds. But there's a look on Maximus like, "All right, I'm chained to another guy. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's coming up when this door opens, but I'm going to battle and I'm going to find a way." You know, there's just a mentality that you have. I'm concerned about Will Levis's presence when he is out there because of kind of what we're all trying to put words on, the look. I don't want to say hyper, mm-hmm. but it doesn't seem calm and inducing poise, and giving off calmness to everybody else around him. I think that's important for a quarterback. And can he grow out of it? Maybe, but I go fall back on this. He's 25. He's not 21 and right out of college after 3 years. He is an older, inexperienced quarterback. I hope he learns fast because he's running out of time.
Ricky on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, "The best quarterbacks in the history of the NFL throwing interceptions in the fourth quarter, walk to the sideline, sit down, pick up an iPad, look at it like it was their job to do that level of professionalism." I think I have that right. Basically, Ricky's point is he looks like – he says he looks like a frat boy playing in the flag football league.
Well, here's – because there's two examples I can go to, and these two people were vilified for their reactions to a particular play. Y'all remember, was it last year or the year before, the offensive coordinator, I think it was Buffalo, he was up in the press box and he called the play. And I think it was Buffalo, and Josh Allen threw an interception. It did something happened wrong, and he slammed the thing down in the thing, and he started going crazy. They played that across the NFL everywhere.
It was Ken Dorsey.
Yeah, Ken Dorsey.
The time
they
was
played
the
that up around everywhere. And what did they say? He lost his cool. He can't do that. People are watching. He's supposed to be the leader of this offense. He can't do that. And then they vilified Lamar Jackson. When he threw interceptions and he would come back to the sideline and he would snatch his helmet off and he would have this scar on his face, like, just mad and upset. People vilify him for that.
But I think you can be mad at yourself.
No, okay. No, I know that. But
say,
what I'm
my bad. That's on me.
But what
I'm saying is that's okay.
But what I'm saying is this. People are watching.
They are watching.
If you are the leader of an offense or a defense or a leader of a team, you can't allow your expressions to be that outwardly that everybody start pointing, because everybody's watching, not just your teammates, not just the fans, but everybody on television. And the first thing they say is, he's not the guy. He loses his composure. He don't know how to keep it calm and cool, whether you're winning by 50 or losing by 50. You can be upset, like you said, Willie. You can be upset. And like you said, Adam, you can come back to the sideline, grab that pad, and just be looking at it like, damn, I can't do this. But you can't do the things that are showing everybody that this kid's emotions are. He doesn't have them in check. He just doesn't. So if you are the leader of a franchise, which I know they haven't said it, but Will Levis is the face of that franchise right now.
Right.
And he can't do some of the things that he does. And I know it's a part of sports, and yeah, I know it's a part of your emotions, but when you are the leader, you have to be able – prime example again. It didn't matter if Derrick Henry rushed for 200 yards, 50 yards, whether they won or lost. His demeanor was the same.
Exactly.
He walked off the sideline, went back to the went to the bench, and they talked amongst themselves. You didn't see Derrick Henry up and down, up and down. Why? Because he's the leader of these other guys around him, and he has to show them, listen, no matter what, guys, y'all know I'm a steady force here. Lean on me.
And it doesn't have to be projected in the same way by every single person. There's different ways
that
you do it. Steve McNair had his way of doing it, but I always felt like he had the eye of the tiger, that he wasn't cracking, even when he was young and figuring it out. I always felt, even when he was not where he would be eventually, that he's on the path. Like, I believe in that guy. He exuded that. It boils down to one thing for me, and I've never been a soldier, so I'm not trying to act like I've been, you know, in battle or anything like that. But when you it's a figurative thing on a team. Do you want this guy in your foxhole or do you not? Like, what kind of feeling do you have when that guy's in your foxhole? You're like, I'm glad he's in my foxhole, or I'm not sure I want this guy in my foxhole. I think that is the figurative way to say it.
615-737-1025. We did receive a text who said, go watch the movie Inside Out 2. The character Anxiety sums up Will Levis pretty well. Just watched that last night with my son. That texter is onto something. 615-737-1025. We'll continue this conversation next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game. D-Mays, Vingan, and Donick, 1025-1063, The Game. Nick Frazier, DJ Nick Frazier, bringing us back with the Foo Fighters, which was prominently featured in Varsity Blues, which I referenced in the previous segment, talking about Will Levis's demeanor. And just now, we received a text on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com from Philip in Murfreesboro, and I'm glad he brought this player up that we're about to discuss, because there was something that happened over the weekend that sort of brought this into, you know, the public eye, for lack of a better term. Philip writes, now you guys are picking apart Levis's demeanor. Did you guys ever watch Tom Brady? Nobody has ever been as emotional or exasperated on the sidelines as Tom Brady. You know the difference? He won. Now, I mentioned this earlier. If you missed it, so Tom Brady called the Buccaneers game over the weekend. And I guess Baker Mayfield went on a podcast talking about, you know, the difference between him and Tom Brady in terms of like how the Buccaneers locker room functions. And Mayfield said the building was a little different with Tom in there. Obviously, playing-wise, Tom is different. He had everybody dialed in, high-strung environment. So I think everybody was pretty stressed out. They wanted me to come in, be myself, bring the joy back to football for guys who weren't having as much fun. Now, he later said those comments may have been taken out of context. But Kevin Burkhart asked Tom Brady about that on the broadcast, which I'm glad he did. And Brady said, I thought stressful was not having Super Bowl rings. There was a mindset of a champion that I took to work every day. This wasn't daycare. If I wanted to have fun, I was going to go to Disneyland with my kids. But to Philip's point, I mean, Tom Brady was, I mean, I've seen enough documentaries and such about Tom Brady. The guy was wired to win. He was tightly wound. But I feel like there was a difference between Tom Brady. The point stands from Philip. Tom Brady won games. He won many Super Bowls. That's a big difference. But I feel like the way that Will Levis comports himself and Tom Brady it may not be a perfect comparison.
I think we're confusing demonstrative emotion and channeling your poise, your energy. How are you perceived? I don't think anybody, even a young Tom Brady that came in unexpectedly, I think he quickly won over his teammates as, okay, this guy knows what he's doing. This guy exudes, maybe emotions, but also a calmness, a poise, and not a hyperness, a deer in the headlights kind of thing. You see what I'm saying?
No.
I think we could both come off and do the same body language and look emotional, but you would say one guy might look a little bit lost, a little bit, is this guy got it together? And another guy, he's emotional, but I know he's got the eye of the tiger.
Yeah, I get it. And it's not comparing apples to apples. Even in Tom's early days, Tom wasn't making stupid mistakes. Tom wasn't making dumb, plays. He wasn't flicking the ball, just to be flicking it or aimlessly. He wasn't, throwing it, where he shouldn't have been throwing it, and seeing the defense, but still predetermining where he's going to throw it, and the ball gets picked off, and it's a pick six. I'm not sure Tom had too many pick sixes in his career, so it's different from that aspect of, okay, this guy has proven even when he first took the job. He proved that he can be a winning quarterback. Now, Bill chose to, sort of ease him into it. They ran the football a lot, played good defense, play action pass, and everything like that. So they brought him along very slowly. But once he proved that he can win games, they opened everything up. And when Tom made a mistake, he had built up so much equity that when he did seem demonstrative, people were like, okay, we need to make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do. Why? Because this guy has shown us that he's a winner. And you can afford to do that when you are a winner. Brett Favre used to come off. He was a winner. Aaron Rodgers, but he's a winner. You look at Patrick Mahomes sometimes. But he's a winner.
Now, don't you think there's an authenticity when you as a teammate, when a guy gets emotional, it's authentic and it plays. And there's also some where you see a guy and he's doing some emotional things or he's getting on you where you're like, it's not playing. It's not playing well. It's not giving off the right feeling that it should. Where you're like, I trust this guy. We're all on the same page. We're in the We're in the fight together.
And by the way, because I was curious if I have this correct, Tom Brady threw 18 pick sixes in 23 years.
Oh, well, that's 23 years. He didn't even throw one per season.
No.
So Will Levis is far ahead of him at this
point.
He's
on pace to shatter that. Yeah, let's just put it that way.
He played 23 years. But I go back to what I was saying. These guys have built up that equity that if they did come off the field and show – you know, that they were not pleased in whatever way. Well, they can do that because they built up that sweat equity. They built up the wins. They built up the Super Bowls. They built up the All Pros. They built up the Pro Bowls enough to say, hey, listen, we are not doing what we had expected to do. So we need to start doing it right now, and I'm pissed off about it. Well, if that is indeed the case, I'm not saying anything to Tom Brady. I'm going out there, and I'm making sure I do my job because this guy does everything that he's supposed to do, and he wins football games. He studies. He do all that stuff that Will Levis does, but what Tom does is he goes out there and he performs at a level that's going to win us games more times than not. Will Levis hasn't done that. So when you come off the field and you have these sort of emotional outbursts, it doesn't sit well. Football is an emotional sport. Athletics is an emotional deal. But when you haven't built up that sweat equity, when you haven't built up those skins on a wall, sometimes you have to check your emotions. You have to, because people are looking at you to be that calming force. And I can come outside of myself every once in a while if I'm winning games. But if I'm not winning games, I can't do that because everybody's looking at me.
I can't remember which game it was. Maybe it was Monday. But I remember the broadcast of whichever game it was. It showed Will Levis on the sideline, I think after one of his turnovers, like trying to rally some of his fellow offensive players. And I'm just thinking to myself, if I'm DeAndre Hopkins or if I'm Calvin Ridley and I'm sitting there and Will Levis is trying to, you know, pump me up after a turnover, I'm just thinking, like, can you believe this guy?
And that's you know what? Adam, you are absolutely right.
There's an awareness you have to have of when you can do that.
That's why some guys sit on the bench, and if you watch, like, some guys, when they try to hype guys up after they've made the mistake or something, guys are just looking, like, with a blank stare on their face. They may lift up their arm to give them some dap, like, yeah, but they're looking like a blank look on their face, like, seriously? You the one that messed up. What are you talking about? Like, you're trying to hype us up. You need to be the one that needs to settle down and do your job. So that what you saw, it's true. That if you are the one that is steady making the mistakes and then trying to come on the sideline to get us going, no, get yourself going. We're doing our job. You're not doing your part. So don't come over here slapping hands and come on, fellas. Okay, yeah, but make sure when we go out the next time, you don't throw an interception or you don't do one of those dumb things that is going to cost us a game. Make sure you do that before you come back on the sideline trying to get us going.
615-737-1025. We'll park the Titans conversation for a segment to discuss college football with Mitch Light of The Athletic coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063, The Game.